We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, but you know, of course, they were a little bit spoiled with the results, of course, of last season. Everybody expected, and that's also normal. But, you know, everybody also saw what happened with Toronto when they played the Champions League last season.
Sounds like an excuse to me, Frank DeBoer. Yeah, we saw what happened with Toronto. They were also injured. I guess he wants to blame Champions League and the tired legs. Okay, I mean, that is an issue. Don't get me wrong, it is. But no question that team is out of gas, and I don't know what's going to happen Wednesday night because they got very little left in the tank when they play Monterey again. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh. That does not excuse the fact that this team does not look like the same team we saw over the last 2 years. And yesterday was proof positive of that. Boy, it was as ugly as a 1-1 draw can get.
Yeah. I mean, and the unfortunate thing is that, you know, Cincinnati FC hasn't even been home yet. And they played their that's a feather in the cap for them.
Oh.
Because, you know, they played their upstart program, and they played to a tie with the defending MLS champs.
Yeah, and credit to them. I mean, 5 minutes into the game, Joseph Martinez scores. And you're in front of 70,000-plus against the defending champs in their home stadium in their MBS opener. And 5 minutes in, the MVP, reigning MVP, scores on you. That's when everybody in Cincinnati goes, oh, man, this is going to be a long game. Hope we don't put up, you know, let up five or six goals.
I thought it was going to be a route.
I did, too.
I thought it was going to be a route. That's when I started tweeting because, you know, we had a rough week talking about Atlanta United and how Frank DeBoer has been under a little bit of fire. And when they scored that first goal, when Joseph scored that first goal, I thought it was on. We're off to the races. That was not the case.
Yeah, I know it wasn't the case at all. So your chance to react here. Of course, we have a thread going on our Twitter at 929 The Game. One word that describes what you saw yesterday. DeBoering seems to be a pretty popular one right now. That's at 929 The Game. Also, you can text us on the text line at 404-741-0929, and you can call as well at 404-741-0929. Give us kind of your thoughts here. Taylor Twellman was on the broadcast. We'll get to your calls in just a moment, but we a couple things we want to get out there first. Taylor Twellman, of course, a longtime member of the U.S. national team and soccer expert, on the broadcast yesterday, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but at the end of the game, basically he said, Frank DeBoer in trouble.
He was basically talking about how the team didn't look like they were in sync with one another, and he was talking about how you had one of the leading scorers in MLS, well, the leading scoring teams in MLS, one of the highest scoring teams in MLS, was having trouble scoring.
And you put the brakes on him.
Yeah, and he was talking about the style of the way that Coach DeBoer, Frank DeBoer, was coaching them. He talked about the positions that guys were playing. He was talking about Eric Remedy and the way he was playing. Again, I am of the mindset that it's going to take some time because this is not the same team that won the MLS Cup a year ago. It's not. But at the same time, you have to defer to somebody who's been out there on the pitch and he knows soccer. He knows a lot about soccer. And when I heard him say some of the things that he said, it had me a little concerned. There are some cause for some concern. But I still think that it's early enough that you can get these problems fixed. Now, the biggest thing is that he pointed out was the way that they're playing. They're not playing. He was talking about the lineups and the matchups and the formation that they were playing. And he made a big to-do about that. And saying how he had some guys that were playing back when they should have been playing a little bit more aggressive, pressing a little bit more, if you will. He made a big to-do about that. So I think that you still have to give Frank DeBoer his due and give him a chance to implement what he's trying to implement because he's not Tata. He's not. And I understand that going into this, everybody talked about how Atlanta United has a certain style of play and you're not going to change that. I don't think it's changed that much. I think that right now what's happening is that everybody's trying to fill each other out.
Well, it's been a terrible start to the season for Atlanta United. And, you know, they did advance to the second round of CONCACAF, and Wednesday night it likely ends because that team doesn't look like they're anywhere remotely close to being able to beat, you know, Monterey 4-0 at home. Who knows? Maybe suddenly they show up out of nowhere. And Frank, I'm going to offer a small defense of Frank DeBoer here. Frank DeBoer comes in and he wants to shore up some of the things that he sees are problems on the team. Like, we all know that the team had, even though they won the championship last year, they weren't very good, for example, on set pieces, you know, save for Kevin Kratz and his ability to score goals from free kicks. But they weren't good on corners. They were kind of way below average on stuff like that. And here's the other defense I have of him, and that is that you coach guys up, but when you put these new guys in, they have to play well. And Breck Shea, for as much time as Breck Shea spent, Breck Shea's a guy, he's a veteran, been around the league a long time now, was considered the best young player in the nation when he came out about a decade ago, played a long time for the U.S. national team, men's national team. He hasn't done anything, you know, and Twellman is saying the same thing about P.T. Martinez. P.T. Martinez, the South American Player of the Year, okay? Forget about Mexico. He's a South American Player of the Year. He's on the Argentinian national team. He's that good. But, you know, again, you're not getting anything out of him that's spectacular at all. You're not getting much of anything about him. So he can't help. These guys have to up their games, Hugh. They're not playing well.
It's a little bit of that, and guys have to find their way a little bit. I mean, you got some new moving parts out there, John, and you're dealing with the tired legs, and you're dealing with the rough start to the season, all of that. But you got to figure out how to get it done. You have to figure out how to get it done. I think it's a little bit of a combination of the play on the pitch, and it's a little bit of the coaching. It's a little bit of that. But I think that it could all still come together. It's still early in the season. There's nobody playing for playoff spots right now. And, you know, I think that it just you need to be patient and give it time to work itself out.
Boy, this team, it just looks like it needs to rest right now. They don't need this game Wednesday night, but they got to play it against Monterey. Jason Stockbridge, he's on with John and you. Hey, Jay, welcome to the show.
Jay.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
What's your one word, Jay? What describes Atlanta United?
Well, I don't want to describe the team. I want to describe everybody else. We just need to relax. Like, I mean, if this is what we're going to do every time, like, one of our teams gets really good and wins a championship or something, we're going to lose our minds. Like, we need to relax. This is the equivalent to me of if the Falcons won the Super Bowl and came back and lost week one in the NFL. It's one game. This is not one game, but it's technically that early in the season. Like, let's just chill, relax, let them get their legs up under them. I mean, they are tired. They are doing something that they didn't have to do the previous 2 years. It's a little different. And they do have a different coach, so they're trying to get used to him and get used to each other. I mean, we just got to chill, relax. I think everything will be okay. Give them a minute. We're overreacting right now. Give them a minute. Get themselves together. Then we'll come back and we'll see what's going on a little later on. But right now, it's clear.
Yeah, and I agree with Jay to a degree. I mean, let's see what happens. It's not how you start, it's how you finish. And they are tired. If they could just get some rest and kind of get on the same page, I'd be interested to see. I want them to start connecting too. But in these five games that they've played, let's keep in mind, they've only scored one goal in the last three games. They just tied an expansion team that's not even played a home game yet and look lethargic doing it. I don't know, Hugh, it's so much being 1-3-1 and then playing Monterey on Wednesday night. I don't know if it's the results so far. It's just the way the team looks.
Yeah, I think it would probably be a little bit of that because they did look a little lackluster yesterday. And part of that probably is because their legs were a little heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Legs were a little heavy. They just didn't have that that killer crisp instinct that they had last year. But I think that's going to happen when you've had so much soccer played in such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they knew that was going to be the case. That's one of the main reasons why Darren Eales tried to put this roster together the way that he did so you could have a lot more depth than you had before. It's just that, you know, guys aren't used to being in certain positions and not used to the roles that they're being asked to play right now.
You know, and I was talking about whether or not I asked Rick Kemmel, I said, was I being a bad fan when I said I didn't care that much about Champions League right now? And the reason I don't care about Champions League right now and didn't even before what happened in Monterey, is that I'm still more focused on MLS. I know the Champions League is a bigger prize. We've talked about this on the show. I get it. I mean, it's a huge prize. I understand why you would want to go for it. But right now I'm still, you know, we had a coaching change, and I'm more interested in Major League Soccer. And so if it ends on Wednesday night at Champions League, which it looks like it will,
you'll be happy.
I'll be okay with that. And when it comes to the other tournament, the U.S. Open Cup, as far as I'm concerned, Atlanta United could send out ATL UTD 2 to the U.S. Open games. I don't care about the U.S. Open, Lamar Hart. I don't care at all. I want them to get rested and on the same page for this MLS season. It's only been two games. You're 0-1-1. You have one draw and one loss. You've been outscored 3-1 by DC United and FC Cincinnati. So we set aside the CONCACAF games and put those in our rear view and focus on Major League Soccer. Because what DeBoer said about look at Toronto last year, I don't want that to happen to us because Toronto did get injured. Toronto was banged up, and Toronto never recovered from that CONCACAF champion league.
Yeah, but
never.
I also think that they're thinking like we're not Toronto. And let's be honest, John. Let's be fair. This is uncharted waters for everybody. Like everybody that's involved, this is something new, and they're trying to work their way through it. You have to let it run itself out. You got to let it run its course. You have to. I don't think it would be smart to be premature and pull the trigger, because like Taylor Twellman alluded to the other night, that he doesn't think that Frank DeBoer is going to make it through the season. I don't think his job is in jeopardy. I think that Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra knew that this was going to be probably tough sledding. This was probably going to be tough sledding. And I think they're 100% committed to Frank DeBoer. I really do. And I think they're 100% committed to allowing this to run its course. I can't see them with all the planning that they've done and the way that they've moved throughout this whole process. I can't see them pushing the panic button and just changing stuff mid-stride because it's not going the way that they anticipated it to go.
And Dylan and Smyrna texts in at 404-741-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Says, DeBoer took a gifted Ferrari and put a mower engine on it.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, I mean, but that was Twellman's point. I think it's our point, too. Twellman said, look, and before he said that DeBoer's job was in trouble, but about, I don't know, right after the goal or something or right around there, because that he was talking about how the team had dead legs.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, either DeBoer's style has to change or the team has to change to DeBoer's style or somewhere in between. And you and
they
I
got to meet, right, meet each other in the middle.
This is what you and I said. I think that he's got to let the team go. He's got to spread this out and play a little bit more fast break and let them run. And he talked, Twellman also talked about with Miggy and Joseph and what they developed. Those two were given free rein at the front. You know, they were just, you know, go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Just score. And DeBoer wants to be much more structured than that.
Yeah, but they kind of earned the right to do that.
Right.
Miguel Almirón and Joseph Martinez, they kind of earned the right to do that. Pity Martinez is trying to do that, but he's still trying to find his way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, again, I understand where fans are coming from. And I understand what Taylor Twellman is saying, but you still have to let this play out. And I think another thing that's going on is people are looking at Frank DeBoer's recent history, and they're kind of holding that against him.
Right.
You know, I think that's a lot of that too, John, because, you know, when people talk about, you know, they talk about the time that he had at Ajax and how much success he had there. But the other two spots that he had,
Crystal Palace,
yeah, he wasn't there that long. I think they're holding that against him. They're holding that against him and the fact that he has been labeled as stubborn. Now, I don't think that's fair because, again, Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, they have did their homework on who they wanted to coach this, who they want to coach this mm-hmm. after Tata Martino left. So I am not one to push the panic, but there are some concerns there. No question about that. There are some concerns that I have, but I am not pushing the panic button right now.
All right, Devin's in Atlanta with John and Hugh. Hey, Devin.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Hugh, I got to disagree with you, man, because when you sign the South American Player of the Year, who's a number 10, a central attacking mid, and you play him on the left wing, and he looks lost, it's kind of like the Falcons drafting a defensive end at number 8 and then telling him he's an outside linebacker.
Oh, no, I agree with that. No, because they alluded to that, too. They alluded to the fact that they had guys playing out of position.
Right. Yeah, you did talk about that.
Well, okay, they played everyone out of position. That's the hardest thing, and it's rigid adherence to a system that cost Frank DeBoer his job at his previous two places. He had 5 matches at Crystal Palace and had a mutiny on his – a locker room mutiny on his hands, and he's real close to having one here. I don't know if y'all saw Joseph.
Hang on, Devin. We don't know that.
He said a mutiny.
Did you see Joseph walking up the pitch?
Yeah, well, we didn't, but we don't know that, Devin.
I'm just telling you, rigid adherence to a system in a salary cap league is going to get you lost points, and it's going to get you a lost season. He's not the answer. You have a South American locker room – South American pipeline, South American players, and you hire a Dutch coach that changes everything and comes in and says, I'm Frank DeBoer, you're going to do what I say. It's not a fit.
All right, that is Devin in Atlanta. Yeah,
that was strong.
And Devin could be no. Devin has every right to be because he speaks for a lot of fans.
He got it.
We can't know. Look, we can't know what's going on in the locker room. Okay, I mean that you can't know. I mean you can't even assume it. You can't say, "Oh, there's going to be mutiny." You don't know that. The guys may just be saying, "Hey, coach." Coach may be looking at him, going, "I'm exhausted." The players are going, "We're exhausted too. We need a break. We'll be fine if we get a break." Because right now, what's the number one thing it looks like right now? I mean, yes, DeBoer's style, but it just looks like the team is out of gas. That's what it looks like, more than anything else. That little flurry after they scored the goal, you know, it's like they managed to find a little reserve. More of your calls next. We're responding to Atlanta United on the morning show after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason. Busy morning show, a lot to get into on a Monday, coming off a very busy weekend. Josh Pastner at 9 o'clock this morning. Mike Connie at 9:20 for you United fans. We'll talk with the voice of Atlanta United at 9:20, get his thoughts on all this. Just got a lot of ways to get to be part of the program. You could text in at 404-741-0929. You can go to our Twitter at 929thegame and tell us the one word that describes Atlanta United right now. Also got this from Jason Mims, who added me. Is that how you say it? Added?
He said, yeah. Added. What are you talking about when he said keep towing the company line?
Keep towing the company line.
What company line are we towing?
I don't know. I don't know
what
he heard.
Listen, I'm sorry. I don't get all up in my feelings.
Yeah.
I don't get all up in my feelings over two matches. Now I know that there are a lot of people that do. Or five if you want to get technical. I don't get all up in my feelings over five matches, man. I'm not built that way. And I'm not going to think the way that you think. I'm not going to push the panic button and start, you know, being on suicide watch. Now, third game in, I might move the meter. It might move the meter a little bit for me if we still have some of the same issues. And not only that, I know AT brought something to our attention where they were saying that where Frank DeBoer said had some scathing, not so much scathing. Would you call them scathing, John? Or like some things that might play into what people feel. Why people feel the way that they feel about Frank DeBoer.
Yeah, here's that audio cut, and it's not a good sound.
Yeah, but, you know, of course they were a little bit spoiled with the results, of course, of last season. Everybody expected, and that's also normal. But, you know, everybody also saw what happened with Toronto when they played the Champions League last season.
Yeah, he said a little bit spoiled, huh?
Yeah, a little bit spoiled, huh?
See, I'm... I still believe that there is some growing pains that's going on with this team. I do believe that. But I will say that when you make comments like that,
doesn't help.
That does not help endear yourself to this wonderful fan base here in Atlanta. Because I have found out, John Friggin, I'm pretty sure you have too, that they will, like Atlanta United fans, will turn on you in a heartbeat. Turn on you in a heartbeat. It'll get real for you. So, I mean, I don't think that with the team playing the way that they're playing, to say that they're spoiled, that's probably not the route. That's not the street you want to travel down right now. Well, not right now.
The Five Stripes play Wednesday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Of course, you'll hear the game on our sister station, WAOK. 8 o'clock kick against Monterey Wednesday night. Then they play the following Sunday at Mercedes-Benz again against the Philadelphia Union on the 17th. And then they have 13 days off. So now, I don't know how they're going to do against Monterey on Wednesday, how they're going to do the following Sunday against Philadelphia Union, but by the time they come back on the 30th when they go to Columbus, they're going to have 13 days off. That's the point where I expect to see this team start to take off. If they don't, then we got a problem.
Yeah. I mean, but boy, John, how many games we got before that? How many matches we got? Two? Well, we got technically three.
Yeah, before right.
Ooh. I hope those three, like, if those three are bad,
you
might not make it to 13 days.
Not only do you play Monterey on the 13th and Philadelphia on the 17th of March, but after the Philadelphia, get this, after the Philadelphia game, we talk about tired legs a little bit. After the game against Philadelphia on the 17th of March, you play March 30th against Columbus Crew. You don't play again until April 13th. So you play only, Hugh, after the Philadelphia game, you play one game in a month.
Yeah, so you need to turn the corner after that. Everything needs to be put together.
Yeah, basically go back into training camp.
Yeah, basically. Here's another guy that kind of came at us a little bit. He said, gents, this is El Dorado. He said, gents, stop shoving crap down educated fans' throat. The coach has neutered this team in favor of forcing style on this attacking team. Stop saying they are tired when they started playing this way. Where is the depth that was discussed in preseason? Dude, they are tired. They've been all over the place. They've been jet-setting. How many times have you traveled, Mr. El Dorado, sir, over across the country and come home and been famished or tired from just the travel? Think about it. And then not only are they traveling, they have to actually play matches.
Mm-hmm.
That's tiresome.
6 matches in 18 days.
Running around for 2 hours.
In
and then
5
not only
cities
that,
and 3 countries.
Yes. So they are tired, sir. And I know I'm not disputing whether or not you're an educated soccer fan. I'm not doing that, but you have to be fair and balanced in your assessment of this squad right now. You have to be
right. The coach's style is an issue. The tired. It's just one leg. It's just one leg. It's one. Their tired legs are just one part of all of this. This team, you know, traveling so much, playing so much soccer here. This is why, like I said, once you get done through the Philadelphia game next Sunday, you only have one game in a month on the schedule now. Now, of course, everything changes if you beat Monterey 4-0 on Wednesday night in advance in CONCACAF, then you play more games. I get that. What are the odds of that at this point? Not good. And, of course, but again, only one thing. Petey Martinez is not playing well. He's got to get on the same page with Joseph. We understand this. That corner, do you see the corner kick he took where he hit the guy?
Yeah, it was a long corner kick. Yeah.
Man, that was terrible. And then Breck Shea, poof. Yeah, the fans were cheering for Greg Garza. They were giving him props when he came into the game to say thank you. They were also, I think that was also a little bit of derision towards Breck. Hey, we miss you, Greg, because the guy that replaced you ain't no good. We got a chief at College Park. Hey, Chief, welcome to the show.
What's up, Chief?
Good morning, Chief. Now, guys, I'm listening to you, but the one word that describes this to me is embarrassing. This is utterly embarrassing. I hear you guys talking about the tired legs and all this sort of stuff, which is fine. But this guy, when he was hired, we knew what we were getting because I'm not trying to hold against him in the last 2 jobs, but the guy was fired in 85 days. Yesterday was the 85th day for the Atlanta United. I'm just saying.
You are holding against him, though, Chief, a little bit. A little bit. A little bit,
okay,
though.
Yeah, but Hugh, if it quacks like a duck, it's got to be a duck. I'm sorry.
I'm just trying. I just want to give Frank DeBoer a chance. Am I the only one? I'm the only one in the city willing to get a dude a chance. Am I the only one?
No, I think you're going to find other people.
AT, hey, is anybody else just willing to give him a chance?
Okay.
Can we give him 3 more games at least?
Now, understanding I was with the Hawks for 23 years and we never sniffed a championship, this is highly unusual to me. I mean, this team plays until November.
I'm sorry, AT, and I understand, like, the frustration. I understand that. I think this is what it is. They haven't even gotten their rings yet. They haven't even had the ring ceremony.
Good point.
Still fresh in everybody's mind. They alluded to that last night, too. When they hung the banner, they alluded to the fact that they haven't received their championship rings yet.
Right.
I think that's what it – I think this man needs some time. Just give him a little bit of time. Just a little bit.
Scott in Cartersville is on with John and Hugh. Morning to you, Scott.
Hey, good morning. I got a question for you guys. How often in professional sports does the team win the championship and then their coach leave in that offseason? It's probably
good
not
question.
Me.
It's not. I can't think of any.
Yeah, exactly. So
wait a minute. Did Coach Coward do that? Coach Coward didn't. Coach Coward, after they won a championship, he left the Pittsburgh Steelers. Was that Coach Coward did it? Then a couple years.
Retiring is one thing, but leaving the team and to go for another job is.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the same thing. Yeah.
Not
kind of
professional
the same
sports.
Thing. Yeah.
I mean, but obviously college sports.
But no. But your point is valid. You got it.
Yeah. So you bring in this new coach, new philosophy. You know, the players are probably more loyal to the previous coach because they had success with them. So I'm thinking there's probably a little bit of headbutting going on, and like you said, it's going to take some time. You know. I'm not panicking at all. You know, I'd rather him at least, have, a few more weeks to see if it's, just the players being tired or whatnot, or just, beginning of the season, or if it's really just the coach and his philosophy not gelling with his style of players and him not knowing how to utilize that.
Yeah, that is, I appreciate it. Scott in Cartersville, yeah, we're getting a lot of reaction on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, too. He's saying that, like, for example, Breck Shea is a better option than Mikey Ambrose. I'm not arguing that, but I got to see more out of this guy. You know, again, part of the problem is this team is not in sync. Shea is not delivering balls into the box. And they had two delivered into the box yesterday, one on a corner and another that was delivered across the face of the goal, and nobody was there to knock it in. And then both could have been goals. And it was like, okay, there's just something out of sync here right now.
Everybody's not like – it's almost like when you're out there playing football and receivers are running patterns. They're running routes. And the quarterback throw – like you used to call it throwing them open.
Mm-hmm.
They're not throwing anybody open right now.
Right.
They're not throwing anybody open. Everybody's not on the same page. They're not comfortable with the passes that they're making right now.
You know, do you want to work it up through the middle of the field like DeBoer does? Do you want to long ball it down the sideline like Tata used to kind of do? And so, you know, you have a lot going on here with this team. And going to be interesting to see how they develop. Again, you play Monterey Wednesday. Then you play Philadelphia Union, a couple of home games on Sunday. And after that, you only have one game for an entire month.
I will say this, though, because I got too much respect for the fan base to come in here and hit them with that. Hey, be patient. There has to be some progress that's made in these next three games. Has to be.
Jimmy Johnson left after the Super Bowl, and then Barry Switzer took over.
Yeah, he got fired, though. He got fired.
Shoved out the door.
He got fired.
He got shoved out the door. Thanks for the Super Bowl. Goodbye. Jerry didn't like Jimmy. Jimmy didn't like Jerry. You know, it will be interesting to see if Mexican national team gets good. Coming up later in the program, Mike Connie to talk at 9:20 to talk about United. Also, Josh Pastner at 9 o'clock. It's all ahead on a very busy day. Braves getting ready 2 weeks out, too. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 99. The game coming up at the top of the hour. Antonio Brown is gone and free agency is here. We're going to really jump into this because here we go. Could Tevin Coleman get an offer today? Legal tampering, which is open negotiations, which is a term I prefer, starts today. And matter of fact, at 9 o'clock this morning, everybody can start calling everybody and making offers. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an amazing week. We'll do that at the top of the hour. A couple of baseball notes here. We'll get into the Braves in just a moment, but one other kind of side note for baseball, Hugh, is A-Rod scored. You see over the weekend what happened?
I did, and what happened?
Got engaged to J-Lo.
Oh, yeah, I had to do a self-filter. But he's been kind of smitten with her since day one. Have you seen him look at her at the award shows? Like she put that thigh out on him or something.
Are we going to have one of those stupid couple names like Rod Lowe or something?
That was terrible, John Fricky.
Well, I just wonder it.
That was terrible. Rod Lowe, what?
Don't they have those stupid couple names, you know?
I don't know, but this is her second time going down the aisle.
What was Ben Affleck and Jennifer Gardner? Was what? Was it? I forget what it was.
I mean, with that being said, I married J-Lo. I mean, she's a little bit out of my age range, but still, I guess.
What?
She's a little too old. She my age. I don't date nobody my age.
Man, you crazy.
Good and crazy. That's the first time I heard that.
Yeah,
I'll take
you
that.
Crazy.
No, she look good, though.
Or Jenny from the block?
Yeah, Jenny been around the block.
Yeah. Jenny been around the block.
I'm not saying that. I'm not being negative because listen. Yes, she's very beautiful. Very beautiful young lady. Yes.
Well, you know, those roids were good for something, I guess. A-Rod engaged. So to the Braves here, a couple of notes. One is that over the weekend, Christian Pache hit home runs Friday and Saturday, and everybody's saying, woo, you know what? Adam Duvall's struggling a little bit. Is it possible that Pache starts the year with the big club? And, maybe. It is interesting, though, if he is the heir apparent to enter in center field, Christian Pache, the Braves have been, you know, they've not wanted to trade this guy for a reason, Hugh.
No, they love him.
Yeah.
I remember Chipper talking about him last year, talking about him, talking about some of the young talent that they have coming up. I think that's what the Braves really want, John, is to try to That's why they're not signing any big name free agents, because they want to have a young squad. They want to have a young squad they control for a long period of time.
So Pache homers. I mean, we knew about his deep. All the talk about his defense and his speed. Guy can steal 50 bases for you, be a leadoff hitter, play center field. But you know his power has started to turn around. By the way, you should see one of the home runs he hit was a monster. It wasn't like they were little bloops that went over. He hit it 400 plus feet. So if Pache is getting his power back, and again, it's only spring training. I understand that, but Duvall is scuffled a little bit. I think he has 5 hits done in spring training. And some people are getting a little kind of frustrated with Adam Duvall, wondering, you know, hey, are you ever going to actually show up and be a player? Got to see more of that. Kyle Wright pitching well. Could he have earned the number 5 spot? In the rotation is another one of the questions. Actually, my question is, did he earn the number 4 spot in the rotation? What are you going to end up with Julio Teheran? They're going to start the season with Julio, and we're going to see. But if Julio isn't, if he struggles again at home, I don't imagine Julio going to be on this staff for very long. I think he is on Julio watch, so to speak.
I think they love Julio Teheran. I think they're going to give him as many opportunities as you can to be successful, because he's still a fairly young guy. What, 26, 27? No, wait a minute. I think he's 28. I think 28 sounds about right.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a fairly young guy, John. And I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be successful.
Well, a lot of talk, too, about the lineup. With Josh Donaldson now taking some at-bats in spring training, Donaldson has made it well known that he wants to hit second in the order. And
28. He's 28.
Yeah, 28. And Donaldson wants to hit second in the order. And I started to think about this. Well, of course, you could put Acuna fourth, but then who do you put behind him? Marquez, I guess. And that's okay. But is it really the best lineup that you could put out there? Because I'm still stuck on Ronald Acuna, leadoff hitter. And I was thinking, well, if you had Acuna leadoff and Donaldson hit second and Freddie hit third, how would that really work? You're taking your 3 best hitters, putting them at the top of the lineup, which A, gives them more at-bats than anybody else, but B, doesn't really allow them to drive in many runs because they're at the top of the order. And then it occurred to me, and so over the weekend I thought, you know what you could do? You could bet Ender Inciarte ninth, okay, and bet the pitcher eighth, okay?
Oh.
And then so in the first go-round, in the first inning, top or bottom of the first, the batting order goes Acuna, Donaldson, Freeman. But after that, the batting order goes essentially Ender, Acuna, Donaldson, Freeman. So you basically you move Acuna to second and Donaldson to third and Freeman to cleanup. By putting Ender in the ninth spot, you only have that Acuna, Donaldson, Freeman, 1-2-3 at the very first of the game. See, you follow what I'm saying?
No, I do, John, but what I'm hearing is you're really, really banking on Josh Donaldson being the guy that he used to be. That's what it really sounds like to me. You're really hoping and praying that he is the guy that showed what MVP form in what 2015 or something like that.
Yeah, when he won the MVP.
When he won the MVP, yeah. You're really putting a lot of pressure on him to be that guy.
I expect him to hit 35 home runs this year. Yes,
that would be lovely. That would be lovely. But I think that's why I'm here, John, to help you temper your expectations, because now you're putting undue pressure on a guy who hasn't shown that form in the last 2 years. So now you're asking him to come in just because he's back to show you that he is that guy. I think that's a little tough. I think that you should temper that a little bit. I would say maybe 25. Give him 25. I think that's pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, in this lineup, in this stadium, I think he could have a big year. But we'll see. I mean, I may be wrong. I mean, I think he could hit as many as 40 in this stadium. Maybe he only hits 25, and yes, it does depend on his health and all that.
It's funny because weren't we talking about lowering your expectations like in the bullpen this morning? We were just having a general conversation, and we were talking about you set yourself up.
I see, and I don't ever lower my expectations.
No, but that's what I'm saying. You set yourself up, and then when it doesn't happen, and then you're gravely disappointed. See,
you mean like Atlanta United?
I didn't say all that.
you left something out, Hugh.
Boy, that's what I was about to say.
Every day.
Well, somebody's got to be like Mr. Positive, right?
No, I mean, I'm being positive, but I'm also I think I'm more grounded in reality. I think that's what it is. And you're asking for something that hasn't been seen in what, 2 seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Because of injury with Donaldson. That's what you're asking for. So now you're saying, okay, you want him to go back and recapture something that he hasn't had in
damn
2 seasons. That's tough.
I know.
That's just like, you know what that reminds me of? Watch how tight it's in AT. That's like Atlanta United fans expecting the season just ended and all these players leaving and recapturing the same form that you just had a couple months ago. It's kind of the same thing. It's you're asking for something that's not really going to happen. Not right now, anyway. It's going to take some time to work back into that.
Bennifer, thank you. That was the name that Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner.
No, somebody
had.
Said J-Rod. My man Southwest Twine said J-Rod. That sounds okay.
I like Rodlow better.
Hey, somebody said A-Lo. A-Lo is not bad. A-Lo.
Genroid.
And there you go.
We were doing so well. We were doing so well.
Were we actually ever doing really well?
Yeah, no invitations for you.
Yeah, we ain't going that way. We probably couldn't even afford a gift on the gift list. Because as a group, we couldn't get a gift.
No, probably not. It is a Monday, you can tell, right, as we get rolling here. And you can tell that the clocks have changed because, you know, just now working on 8 o'clock and it's just now starting to be a little bit light out there. That's that daylight savings time working full on for you on this Monday. Hope you got enough sleep over the weekend. All right, here the show's really going to ramp up after the top of the 8 o'clock hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, Josh Pastner, ahead of the ACC tournament, and Mike Conney, voice of Atlanta United, back-to-back in the 9 o'clock hour. Next, at the top of the hour, we're going to get into AB is gone. What does this mean? Open the floodgates because free agency is here as of an hour from now, okay? I mean, it's already here, but really, today is the first day. Does Tevin Coleman, are we talking about Tevin Coleman by this time tomorrow? Are we talking about Tevin Coleman being gone? And who else might be gone on the Atlanta Falcons? And who might we be looking at? There's one name out there that Hugh threw at me yesterday that I went, now this is interesting. Could we get him on a one-year deal? We're going to throw that name to you. Very interesting guy that's available that maybe we could talk into coming here. That's next with John and Hume on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you miss anything, you can check us out every show, every hour, posted online at 92.9thegame.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.